Afternoon, good morning, good evening, whatever time of day you're listening. This is Ben Gujan with Quad City Arts, and welcome back to Talking Art, supported by Quad City Bank and Trust. Today, I'm so excited, we've been talking about this forever, to be talking art with chalk artist Katie Bush, who is going to be here in the Quad Cities May 28th through 31st as part of Quad City Arts' 10th annual Chalk Art Fest. She's going to be here doing some talks and workshops and judging the event, as well as creating a large-scale 3D chalk art piece for the festival, which I am so excited to see. Katie, welcome to Talking Art.
Thank you, Ben. I'm so happy to be here, and I'm so excited to be a part of your upcoming event.
Yeah, we were, you know, it was funny. We were, we've not met in person yet. Just over Zoom calls. You know, this is the 10th year of our Chalk Art Fest, and we have been, you know, we're trying to think of, like, what could we do? And I was like, maybe we bring in, like, who are the best chalk artists in the world? And I just Googled, literally, like, best chalk artists, and you popped up on the list. And I reached out to you, and you responded, and now you're coming here to the Quad Cities to participate in Chalk Art Fest. How cool is that?
That is really cool. Thank you, Google.
Good SEO, if nothing else.
Yes, right.
but really, like, your chalk art pieces are really incredible, and I just have to know, like, why chalk? How did you get into chalk art?
Oh, that's a great question. And honestly, when I do festivals, because I do festivals most throughout the year that, like, thousands of people come to, and people are always asking questions, because in a way, it's a type of performance art. Like, I'm doing this whole piece over the span of a weekend or a week or whatever it may be. And people ask, like, how did you get into this? Like, how did you know this is a thing that you could do? And actually, about 15 years ago, I used to work at an art museum in Marietta, Georgia. And part of my job was to put together a chalk festival. There's a lot of chalk festivals in Florida and a lot in California because the weather's really nice. And
sure.
So, you know, Georgia's just a hop, skip, and a jump away from that. And so I put this festival together, and we had about 10 artists come out and draw on the pavement. And I remember thinking, I can do this. Reached out to a festival. It's the Sarasota Chalk Festival at that point.
Yeah.
I think it might have been changed name-wise. But they had me come down. I did my first piece. It was Rosie the Riveter. I don't think I'd ever actually drawn a portrait before from start to finish, but it looked spot on. And I was like, oh, yeah, like I really enjoyed it. And there's, like, such a great community of chalk artists. And I love, you know, seeing something so large-scale come to life. And I always say that what I enjoy most is I can photograph it. Like, I don't have to worry about storing it.
Right.
Like most artists do, you know?
Right.
So it's, like, ephemeral, and I've always been drawn to ephemeral media.
Well, yeah, and that's, like, with my theater background, I always kind of think of chalk art in that same way, where it's, like, you see it being made, and then either when it rains or when we bring in the power washers to clean the park a few days later, like, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
It is gone, and exactly. You just have those production photos, if you will, to remember it by. And it's,
yes,
there's something that is so cool about that, I think. And for me, again, with a theater background, like, the magic is in that live performance, that mm-hmm. live creation.
Yes, yeah, and being able to connect with people in that way, there's something really magical about it, because seeing the awe that chalk art brings. I get so many kids that come to festivals and they're like, I could never do this. And I'll give them, like, a piece of chalk, and I'm like, just go home and, like, you know, try doing this technique and that technique. And hopefully, like, we're encouraging, you know, the next generation of artists. But even parents too, you know, like, I've taught workshops before where people are like, I can't draw a stick figure. And then you explain, like, it's like cooking, you know, it's a muscle that you exercise and you get better at. I believe that art's like that. Anybody could be an artist and just have to know, like, what to do. And that's the hard part. I think most people freeze at that. But giving people the tools so that they can learn and have the foundation so they can build upon that is really, that's my favorite part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's so fun to see for me, and you know, I'm usually at every second of Chalk Art Fest over the weekend, you know, seeing those spaces, this being our 10th year too, like seeing the spaces go from a blank square to this fully realized piece by Sunday afternoon. But also watching year over year, you know, we have lots of the same artists who are coming back and seeing their growth as artists and them start to adapt new techniques and how, you know, like you mentioned earlier, there's a community there that is formed. Mm-hmm. That's so cool mm-hmm. because you're sharing in this experience of like, we are out here on the pavement all day for 2 days. It's a physical sport.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
Like chalk artists. Like I am so amazed. Cause it's grueling.
Yes, your back hurts so much by the end of it. We all bring ibuprofen and we just kind of like share it.
Yeah.
When we do festivals together. But there was one artist who used to talk about, she would like go visit her chiropractor after every single event, and they would treat her like an Olympic athlete because it's so difficult on your body. You know, hunching over and like being in the sun and, you know, like squatting down on your toes. Like it's intense.
Yeah. Well, and I've always thought that. I was like, we need to get like a chiropractor at the festival. So like a chiropractor and a masseuse so that the artist can like go in and get a little get worked on in between.
So I actually did a festival once where they had a masseuse, but nobody went to them because we all wanted to finish our artwork.
That's my worry. That's always the thing is like, how do we compensate the masseuse and make sure they're getting.
Right.
But yeah, it is physical. And I mean, we have, so the festival this year is May 30th and 31st, but we had been doing it later in June or sometimes in July, and the temperatures were brutal. I mean, it was days where it was high 90s with a heat index close to 110. And, you know, because of the way the park's laid out and safety issues, like we allow artists to have umbrellas, but not like full tents that they can camp out under while they're doing the work. And like, it was getting to the point where it was dangerous for people because of, you know, the temperatures had gotten so high during that time of year that it was like people were getting dehydrated, people were getting heat exhaustion. And it was so, a couple of years ago, I made the decision. I was like, we need to bump this up earlier in the year. And we have had great temperatures every year since we made that switch. But you're exposed. It's like long-term exposure to the sun, to the wind, to bugs, to whatever elements are out there.
Yes. You know, you hear those like urban legends of people frying eggs out on the, you know, like on the sidewalk. Like that's exactly how it feels during the summer.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so what is your, you know, you kind of saw this chalk art and fell in love with it. What was your art background leading into that?
Oh, I don't get asked that often. I started an interest in art when I was in high school, and I won a couple of awards through my school. And then I decided I wanted to pursue art as a career. And my parents directed me towards becoming an art teacher because, you know, starving artists is kind of a trope. And I went to art school for 4 years and then got my degree in art education. And in order to do that, you have to sample a little bit of everything, which is fine because I'm very much a generalist anyway. You need to have that foundation to be able to teach any type of media. So I really enjoyed that aspect of it. And then I went to grad school also for art education, which is more theoretical. And so my background is in teaching. And so then my first job out of grad school was at that art museum where I started the Chalk Festival. And it's grown into like one of the largest ones in the Southeast now. After, you know, I left they kept it going. And I actually participate in it every year now, which is really cool to see. And So my background in education, I just kind of, you know, I really enjoyed school and being able to learn all those different media and kind of took it from there and kept developing it. And so Chalkrite's like a niche thing that I do, but I've also done like painted murals, custom works for people's homes. I mean, pretty much anything anybody needs. I call myself the Jill of all trades.
Yeah.
But chalk is like the niche thing that people look for, and I really enjoy doing it. So it works out well for me.
Yeah. Well, and how did that, you know, how did that kind of transition work of like kind of going from starting a chalk art fest and trying some out and doing Rosie the Riveter and mm-hmm. to becoming like, oh, I can, you know, I can leverage this as an income stream?
Well, so it became like a side hustle. I call it more of like, it's more of a jobby than a hobby, but I was working at another art museum after that first one. I had built my website for my chalk art, and inquiries kept coming in. And so I started just taking them on the weekends. And then after that, like bigger jobs started coming in. And then I was like, okay, I think this is something that I should, you know, pursue a little more intensely. And so I ended up leaving that job and doing chalk art full time. And then we moved to San Diego in 2018. And I kept my chalk art business going there. There wasn't really anybody established there for chalk art. And so it grew and grew and grew. And I still had my business in Atlanta. And so I'd come back to Atlanta and do projects. And as of this week, we're back in Atlanta. So I've already got things lined up for here. And I've got some side projects in San Diego. So I'm kind of zipping back and forth now with the two businesses. But I don't really know what like the magic formula is. It's just, you know, you enjoy something, do it, people see it, they appreciate it. And then, you know, the inquiries keep coming in, and I'm so grateful because it's such a great, blessed life. And there's a lot of work that goes into it, but in some ways I'm very lucky because there are a lot of artists that don't get to do what they love and get paid for it in a way that like they can live. And so I find a lot of gratitude in that.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I mean, how cool. Like, did you ever dream growing up that you would be a bi-coastal chalk artist?
Definitely not. It sort of blown my mind, too. I mean, I definitely played with chalk a lot when I was a kid. My sister and I were always out in our cul-de-sac, like, drawing things with chalk or, like, tracing each other. Yeah. I've got photos of it still. But, I mean, that was, like, our favorite thing to do. So the fact that I can take that little thing and grow it into this big thing and now, you know, get to travel for it, it's very cool. What is it that Picasso said? That something along the lines of when you become an adult, you lose the spark of creativity that you had as a child. And that the whole point of being an adult is to try and find that creativity again and get back into that. And I think that I have in this way.
That's awesome. So you're known too as a chalk artist for your 3D works. Like, how did you get into that? Because that's, you know, kind of a niche within a chalk art niche.
Yes. Well, going to festivals, so I signed up for that first one down in Florida, and then I kept doing more festivals in Florida, and then that grew and grew, but I get to see other people, and there are other artists who are doing it. So the guy who kind of pioneered 3D chalk art is named Kurt Winner, and he's got like these gigantic pieces that are based on like classical, like Renaissance techniques. I mean, they're really cool, but he would always come out and do like a massive piece that he would have a bunch of artists collaborate on, and I've got to help with that before.
Oh, cool.
And so I get to talk with other people about 3D chalk art techniques at these events, and they kind of break it down for you and explain like how to do it. It's really fascinating. I mean, you take like a two-dimensional image, like something that's square, and then you kind of like pinch it at the bottom so that it's more of a conical shape, and then you put that on the ground, and you have to do it, the math has to be correct, so that if you stand like 5 feet from the bottom and you're looking at exactly 5 foot high, like in through a lens,
right,
which is the part that always confuses people, like that's what's going to force the perspective to make it look three-dimensional. But I don't think that necessarily it looks so impressive in person, but when you see the photos, that's when people are like, oh my gosh, you know, because it's elongated in person.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and we've had a couple artists over the years who have been doing 3D stuff. And you know, some, and some, like you said, when you see them in person, you're like, I'm not seeing it. But then, you know, you get your phone out and you take a photo from the spot and you're like, oh, there it is. And just the way that it pops is so cool.
Yes. And one of my hacks for that is I actually have a lens that I keep on a tripod mm-hmm. that I put right at that one spot, the vantage point, so that people can look through the lens and it'll force the perspective, because we see in 3D already. So when you see it on the ground, it doesn't make sense. But when you have a lens off on like glasses, or you're looking through a camera or like a lens that's there, it'll automatically force that perspective. So it's pretty fascinating in general. That's an optical illusion.
Yeah, that's really cool. You're going to be creating a large 3D piece for this Chalk Art Festival. We'll keep a secret what it is, so our audience will come down and see it. But we're so excited for that. And you're also going to be doing a workshop on Friday night, the 29th, before the festival, where people can come and learn these 3D techniques.
Yes. Yep. I'll be breaking these down and also talking about different application methods to the ground, because there's more older techniques that were started back in the Renaissance period, and there's new techniques that have to do with technology. So we'll kind of cover all that and then explain like how that perspective works and the best way to do it. And I'm really excited to share my knowledge.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's one of the things I love so much about bringing artists in, is just that exchange of knowledge between artists. We'll get to learn from you, and I'm sure you're going to see artists here who you're going to say, "That's incredible. I love what you did." And you're going to learn, and kind of going back to that community aspect we talked about earlier.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's another one of my favorite things about Chalk Art Festivals is you have some people amazingly are very good at staying clean. And I don't know how that works, but then we have other people who by the end of the weekend are just whatever shade of chalk was their predominant shade. I just love it. It's such a fun weekend here, and I'm sure all the other festivals that you've been to are equally fun. Why, and maybe you don't consider yourself this, but I'll call you it, a chalk art advocate. Why should people come out to Chalk Art Fest?
Well, it's a very unique experience. You get to see something being made in front of you, something live. I mean, there's so many beautiful aspects of it, and to like go out there and people feel appreciated by you showing up. Like, you go there to see their artwork, you go there so that you can get inspired. I mean, really, that's what it's about, is inspiration. And it's like a symbiotic exchange of inspiration and ideas and questions and answers. I mean, you go to learn, you go to look, you go to be amazed at like what it is that people can do. And I hope that people come out and take a look.
Yeah. And like we said at the top, like, if they don't come out then, they may see the pictures, but they're not, you know, it is a live event. It is a live event.
And there's a lot of people that love to come right at the beginning and see it getting started and then come back a few hours. And then after that, like, it's something you can see and build on and understand like how much work and effort were put into each piece. It's pretty amazing. And that's, I think, one of the spectators' favorite aspects of it, is seeing it develop over time.
Yeah. And for anyone who is thinking about coming out, we'll have food trucks there, and there's live music all weekend and kids activities. We're going to have the kaleidoscope bus and face painting and henna and possibly some hair tinsel and all sorts of things. So it's fun for the whole family. To do some dates, May 30th and 31st, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Saturday the 30th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. with awards given around 4:30 on Sunday the 31st. If you're interested in coming to Katie's 3D chalk art workshop, that is going to be Friday at 6 p.m., Friday, May 29th at Quad City Arts. You do need to register online. You can do that at quadcityarts.com. But Katie, thank you so much for joining me today. We're so excited to have you in town. You're also going to be speaking at the Figge Art Museum on Thursday night, the 28th, at their Chit Chats. So you've got a full weekend ahead of you.
Yes, I sure do. Thank you, Ben.
Yeah, we're so excited to have you. Thanks so much for chatting today. For more information on Chalk Art Fest, you can go to quadcityarts.com/chalkart. It is free to get in, so come on down, see all the work in progress. Come both days, like Katie said, see the start, the finish. And if you want to know more about Katie, and maybe this is changing, Katie, but you could go to San Diego chalkartist.com or www.artkatie.com to learn more about Katie and see her incredible art. So thanks so much. Thanks once again to Quad City Bank and Trust for their support. To my man on the mix, Joshua Graves, I'm Ben Goujon. This was Talking Art.